Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. Fall is underway. It is now October. So I don't know how you feel about fall, but for me, I'm always sad to see summer go. But fall brings a lot of fun things, and we have a lot of cool things coming up. Joining us today is Pastor Mike O'Brien. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back with you, Luke.
And one super cool thing that's coming up that I was hoping you would share with us a little bit more about is what's happening on the 25th.
Yeah, so that is something that we'll be able to unpack more at the actual event. But what it is it's been in the years of making where the Lord, we've been talking about revival so much in our church and in this region.
Yes.
And this event is going to be strictly, it's an unbranded event, not affiliated with any church. It's a place for all local churches in our region to come together to pray at India Point for revival, but also to repent on a lot of the things that have maybe diluted or stopped up the flow of God moving in our region. And so the whole emphasis is going to be unity and repentance. And we believe that as churches come together at that place, that God's going to do something in the atmosphere. And what's amazing is the mayor has been behind this event. His office has been helping us. We're getting through the checklist of everything that needs to get done. So we're just praying for good weather. And so if anyone listening to this wants to come out, doesn't matter what church you go to, just be there. It's going to be October 25th from 2 to 5 p.m. right at the India Point soccer field. And we're going to have parking, all of those logistics out to churches as soon as we can. But it's going to be a blast.
That's so cool. That's so cool. And I can really feel how this is part of God redeeming this area. You know, you hear so much about how the Northeast is the hardest place for the gospel.
Yeah.
But that's where God shines the brightest.
Yeah. And so the flyer that's going around, you'll notice that there's an old train bridge that's on it. And that was very interesting is many years ago, the state owned that bridge and they wanted to destroy it because they thought it represented the decay of the city of Providence. But a couple of years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said that this bridge will be known for something more than abandonment. And so our current mayor in Providence has purchased the bridge from the state so that they can actually keep it. And maybe not use it as a train bridge, but keep it there as an icon of what God is doing in the city, which means he wants to redeem.
Amen.
And so we're excited.
Amen. And you know, I think, you know, some people might find that, that's a little far-fetched. But the more I've walked with the Lord, I do believe that the physical reflects the spiritual.
Yeah.
And what we do in the physical can impact the spiritual.
Yeah.
And God's heart isn't for things to die. It's
yes.
that things would take on life,
yeah.
that they would take on his life, and that they would point to his goodness.
Yeah, and I think going back to what you just said, that God doesn't want things to die, that bridge, that train bridge was used back in 1907. A tunnel was opened up, and it used to be a commuter rail for people and for resources that would go back and forth between the river from East Providence to Providence. And now that it's just kind of stuck in the upward position, it's no longer in use. And so we just believe that over time, a lot of churches are kind of doing that very same thing where we can end up putting our bridges up and not allowing resources to go out of fear of losing people. And the Lord in this revival just doesn't want that attitude. We actually have to put our bridges down, so to speak, and allow resources and people out and in so that we can stay connected. So that's really the heart of it and coming and repenting for that. And I've had to do that myself.
Yeah.
I've served at a few different churches in this region. And I've even found myself like building, oh, this is the ministry you gave me, God, instead of like branching out and bringing things in. And so I'm just really excited. And there's a lot of people who are just helping and praying for this event.
Amen. Amen. Where would you say that some of that that stuck up attitude, as we're calling it or identifying it as, where do you think some of that can come from in us?
I think it can come from it can happen when you have experience with God and there's longevity, you can get to a place where like the gifts and the things that God is doing in us, we can find a place where we think, okay, this is me. And I think one of the scriptures that I love is where Paul is writing and he's saying that we have this treasure that found in earthen vessels. And I think in my own life, like as God uses me more, if I'm not careful, I can think I'm this polished thing that I have to be polished and clean, and then God will put his things in us. But no, the earthen vessel actually represents a frailty. And so the more frail and the more humble that we are, God chooses to place his greatest treasure in something that's frail and easily broken. And I love that because the world doesn't paint that same picture. So I think sometimes if we're not careful and God uses us more, we can, the enemy can try and paint this picture almost like he did when he was in heaven and he looked at himself and saw this like pride seeped in. And so I think we all battle that. And so I know in my own life, like that's what the struggle has been for me. And the Lord can bring us to a place of humility, which is needed so that he can do what he wants to do.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that and being so vulnerable.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that. There is always that piece of our flesh that gets involved. Like, even as God is moving in our spirit, there is the flesh that continually needs to die. And this is just a really good segue into discussing Pastor John's sermon from Sunday, which I thought was so cool, so good. That verse that everyone that's in Christ is a new creation. Mm. It is so true.
Yeah.
But too often, I think we don't allow ourselves to really experience the truth of that in the fullness of our life. Mm. And Pastor John broke it down. Like, he had that diagram where it says you have a spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, and you have your body. One thing that's really cool is the Greek word for soul is psyche, and that's where we get the field of psychology. So if you're trying to understand what does he mean by mind, will, and emotions, just think of anything that would pertain to like your psychology or your personality, your being, the things that make you you, that falls under that.
Yeah.
But your spirit is that eternal peace that lives on forever. And that's what Jesus redeems.
Yeah.
And that's what he saves.
Yeah.
But Jesus's healing, it's not restricted just to our spirit, but it's that we would see the kingdom come in every facet of our
good
being.
Yeah. And like you just said, that breakdown of the soul, mind, and body, we sometimes limit the full cleansing that God wants to do. And Pastor John even made that reference where some people, God will do a work and then they stop there. They stop moving forward. But the Lord is after everything. He doesn't want to just refurbish one part. He wants to come in and cleanse the whole thing for the point of reflecting his kingdom and his glory, that our lives can become a testimony of his work, no matter what we've gone through or no matter what's happened to us.
Amen. Amen. And Pastor John closed with that powerful testimony of the woman and the prophetic word and how the Lord had revealed to both of them that he is genetically modifying our DNA. And what I take from that is that the Lord's healing, it's not just a metaphor. Mm. It's not just something that happens in my head or even in my heart or even in just my spirit, but it is a physical change that I experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's what I love about here, even at our church and the river. And I just had my first doctor appointment with Dr. Littlefield.
Oh, awesome!
And
very
it was
cool.
So cool. Like, I've never had an experience like that where you have someone who is in the medical field and has all that knowledge, but they tie it into other things. And I shared a little bit of my testimony, and I was adopted when I was younger, and I struggled with rejection and a lot of those things, and so. When Pastor John was talking about the doors and there were a lot of things that I kept shut. But as the Lord is healing me, I'm opening up those doors and I'm realizing that a lot of the spiritual things that I struggled with or the emotional stuff can come out in physical things.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Symptoms. And so it's like, while we do believe in medicine and all those things, there are spiritual components of things that can attach to us from our past that if we open up and let the Lord come in, like we actually see manifestations of physical healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you were talking and you mentioning rejection, there's been lots of studies done on the importance of physical touch for babies.
Mm.
And there are these orphanages in Romania. I remember watching this movie a while back, and there were orphanages in Romania and they didn't have enough workers. So these babies would literally just cry all day and they weren't getting enough touch. And it would manifest and affect their psyche and their personality, and they would develop all of these attachment issues simply because they weren't touched. And so there's so many things, the brokenness inside of us because of sin or because of how other people have sinned against us, it really affects us right from the moment of birth. Like we are born into this world of brokenness.
Wow. As you shared that, as you know, we have our new son, Michael Jr., and so it's our third child, but first son. And as you're sharing that, my twin brother and I, when we were born, we were left at the hospital in NICU for 2 months.
Yeah.
And so the only kind of physical touch was when doctors, you know, we had to get fed and, but we didn't have a lot of that. And I remember growing up, whenever my mom would hug me or other people would pick me up, I would get stiff as a board because of that rejection. And what's so cool is when Michael Jr. was born. Like, we are just, we want to be close to him all the time. We're holding him, we're kissing him, our two daughters. And like, he actually loves when he can sense that we're close. And my wife took a picture once of, he was really like restless, and she just put him next to me. And when he calmed down immediately and went right to sleep. And I just, like, it makes me think about like that orphanage, and when you don't have that, it does affect you.
It does.
And so I'm getting to see that in my own son now, who's getting all this love, not just from us, our church family, everyone wants to hold them.
Amen. Amen. And it's not to say that if we have these broken pieces that, we're damaged goods and we're not irreparable. No, that's where the hope of the gospel comes in.
Yeah.
And the Lord is calling us to see things more than just payment for our sin. It's a full healing. It's a full restoration. And the Lord can heal decades and decades of brokenness in a moment, in one touch.
So good. And then going back to Pastor John's message, you know, one of the illustrations I loved was that door that he set up when he had a couple of helpers come in, and that thing was heavy, but even the picture of the caution tape, the no trespassing sign, even in my own life, I did that a lot. Mm-hmm. I would go and meet with people, but I was so closed off because there's a fear of that rejection, or fear of what if people see, as you were saying, the damaged goods in me. And that's what actually the Lord is after, not so that he can expose it and make you feel bad, but so that he can heal it, so you don't have to walk around with that weight anymore.
Amen.
And yeah. So that was one of my favorite pictures.
Yeah. And when you're saying the caution tape, I think sometimes we put that caution tape up for ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is, you don't want to come in here. Yep. And I'm putting this up because I want to remember not to go in this room.
Yeah. And then what the picture that he had when he said, when you do open the door, he said, then the Lord takes that paint roller dipped in the blood of Jesus, and he comes and he starts doing that renovation. And when he talked about that, do not conform, and allowing the God to transform, that word means to renovate. And we're house hunting right now. And it's like every house that we're looking for has that nasty paneling. Yep. And like, we don't want that. We know if we move in, like, that's coming down. We're changing that. And it's such a good picture with what God's doing with people. He wants to come in. He wants to change things to make it better.
Yes. Yes. And in that passage in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about how Christ's love compels us. It controls us. And I want to encourage you, as you're listening, understand that it is Christ's love that is guiding you into that room. Like, it's Jesus's love, not his condemnation, that is saying, no, I love you so much. I want to go in there. We don't want to waste any space. We don't want to waste any space of you. And I want to restore all of you.
That's so good. Yeah. And if you're listening and you've been through things where you've been hurt and it's still there, and that imagery that Pastor John used of the paint roller and the blood of Jesus, he comes in and he paints over all of our stuff. And that's his love. He doesn't do it because he wants to cover it. He does it because he loves us. And
Amen.
We throw that word around a lot, but even for me, just turning 40 this past year, I have to be reminded of God's love for me.
Yes. All the time.
All the time.
All the time. All the time. And if you have gone through healing, if you have been delivered, if you have seen the power of the Lord in your life, understand that it is your responsibility now to speak that testimony to others. You know, the Bible says we comfort with the same comfort that we have received. And so your testimony is the key to helping someone unlock that door that they are keeping shut. So speak boldly, get involved with one another, and let's share the healing that Christ is doing in all of us.
Yeah, when you were saying that, it makes me think of the scripture in Revelation where it says that we will overcome. And how do we overcome? One is, it's the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. So it's the work that Jesus does on the cross. But then what you just said, it's the word of our testimony. Yes. We overcome by allowing him to cover that, but we don't bury the message. We proclaim it because it is covered.
Yes.
And it leads other people to say, wow. Like, for me, the most transformation in my life has been through people who've shared their story. They've shared their stories of brokenness and how the love of Christ has come in and transformed them. And I see them as a different person. I only see them in the transform. But when they share how they used to be, I'm like, man, I can tap into this because God loves us. It's not because he has a hidden agenda. It's just because he loves us, plain and simple.
Amen. And, you know, that same passage says we don't regard people from an earthly point of view or a fleshly point of view. We are called to see people through the Spirit. And when we share that testimony, it just magnifies our vision in that capacity. So Pastor Mike, last week at King's Chapel, he shared a really cool story. And I asked him to share it again today, because I do believe that what we need in order to walk into this deeper depth of healing and this full restoration is we need more faith. And we have to set aside our expectations or our disappointments based on past experiences, but know that we can go to God for all the things, and that he does creative miracles, and that he fully restores our DNA and our flesh. Like, his power reaches to every part of us.
Yeah, and it ties into even Pastor John's message in that little t-shirt graphic of the genetically modified DNA. And so I found this story. So it was our high school chapel. I didn't get to share this in middle school or the K to five, but in the high school chapel, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to share this story of a creative miracle that was done by Amy Semple McPherson.
Yes.
And so she was 18 years old and a missionary in China, and she was asked to speak at a church. And so as she was preparing for that the day before, she asked the Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do tomorrow in the service? And he said, I want to do a creative miracle. And that was it. So here she is, 18 years old, not a lot of experience, but she just goes in faith. And she stands in front of the church before the worship and says, the Lord wants to do a creative miracle. So if anyone in here needs a creative miracle, just come forward. No one came forward. And the worship started, and she just sat on the steps patiently waiting and praying. She got up a second time and said, the Lord wants to do creative miracles. Does anyone have a miracle that they need? And the second time, no one came forward. And I'm reading the story, and I think a lot of people, we have the faith, we know that God can do it, but then it's when it's not in the timing that we want, we lose faith and we stop. But I love that even at 18 years old, she waited for the Lord. And so for a third time, she called out the same thing. Does anyone need to create a miracle? And they said another half hour went by as worship was going on, and this man comes up and hands her a blanket. And he said, I don't know if this is the kind of miracle that you're talking about. And she opens up the blanket, and in it is this deformed baby. His head was misshapen. There were just sockets where his eyes should be. And even his limbs had like flipper-like things where there was no full limbs. And she didn't freak out. She said she just placed the baby next to her as the worship continued. And all she kept saying was, Jesus, thank you that you are a healer. She kept saying that over and over. And all of a sudden, she wrote this in a book. She saw what looked like invisible fingers reshaping the skull, and then there were little like whirlpool things that began to swirl in the baby's eyes, and where there were supposed to be eyes began to develop,
wow,
and limbs began to grow back. And that story has always, because even reading it, there's something in me that's like, man, I didn't see it, and can that really happen? But it happened.
It happened.
And so I think the Lord is trying to fan into flame that faith,
yeah,
that when we take something that looks dead, like the bridge or like people's lives, what looks damaged and needs to be thrown out, God redeems it and repurposes it and makes it new.
Amen. Amen. And that really convicts me, because even hearing that story, my natural mind is this really true?
Mm.
But I know it's true. I know God can do that.
Yeah.
And I know his power.
Yeah.
But you have to confront your flesh.
Yeah.
And you have to, it becomes easier to do that as we walk in the Spirit, as we exercise our spiritual muscles and actually pray for these things.
Yeah. And I think we have to talk about that, Luke, like what you just said. We have to. I'm the same way. I've seen miracles. I read that story and the flesh comes in. Did that really happen? And I remember I was sitting at a church service. This was maybe when I was in high school, and my pastor at the time was speaking, and then he just stopped and felt like the Lord wanted to do some healing.
Yeah.
Now that morning I had woken up and my ears were all like red and itching. Like, I'd never had that happen before, but it was like bothering me. I don't know what it was, but I ended up going to church, and he starts calling out people for healings. Is it someone over here needs prayer for, there's like cancer in their leg or someone's hip. And then he says, someone is in here whose ears are red and they're itching.
Whoa.
And I sat in my seat like frozen, like, I'm not going forward. I literally said, I'm not going forward because I don't want to be that guy. People are going up for all these other miracles. So I stayed. And then the service kept going. He was praying and he called out again. And so at that point, it was bothering me so much. I'm like, I'm just going to go up. And so he was like a father figure to me. So I walked up to him and I just laughed and I just said, hey, I'm the guy with the itchy ears. So he smiled and he just put his hands on my ears and prayed a simple prayer. Yeah. And I walked out of church and it never came back. Like, and so for me, it's the Lord always reminds me of that, that it's not just like these big needs that we think. We kind of put things on a shelf and determine, okay, God, this is too big or this is too small.
Or we kind of triage it. Yeah. Like, oh, that the cancer, they're the one that needs the healing. Yep. I can manage this. Yeah. Like, it's all right.
Yeah. But he knew it bothered me. Yeah. And his spirit was so sensitive to stop a service and to heal something as so small from red itchy ears. And I always go back to that when I come up against things where I'm like, okay, is this my flesh? And I'll look back in my own life and see, okay, God can heal. And so maybe he's poking and wanting my faith to be stretched in this moment. And he's teaching us how to do that.
Oh, so good. So good. And it really comes down to getting rid of our value system. Like that's what I'm hearing from that story is I cannot look at problems or triage them through my value system.
That's good.
I need to approach it with God's value system, which is he is a restorer of the broken. He's a healer of every infirmity. Mm. And I am just called to go ask and pray and proclaim his healing. Mm. And then God shows up how he chooses to show up. But I'm not here to manage how he's going to show up or to even manage my expectations in case he shows up in a different way. Yeah. I ask, you know, just like a child, like, you know, Jesus says, like, ask your father.
Yeah.
And then he's always going to show up.
Yeah. That's good. And wouldn't you say in your own life, when God has done things for you, he's always gone above and beyond expectations? Because you mentioned that word.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I thank God that he doesn't stay at the level of my expectations.
Right.
He always seems to go above and beyond, whether it's a miracle, a financial blessing, or just God speaking a word, a prophetic word. It's always above and beyond. It's not something that I'm like, okay, that was just that. It's always above and beyond my expectations.
Amen. It's so true. And like, even just looking in my own life, like how God's healed me of different insecurities that I've had about myself and throughout my life, and seeing where I'm at now, like I never could have imagined that I would be doing the things that God's having me do today. But from that, I would encourage someone who's listening, like, you need to set aside your timeline and the timing. Because that's another thing, is we want things in a certain way or a certain order. And it's like, but God has the order. God has the timing. But you have to let his love in. And that really is the key. It's letting him love you and looking where you're not going after his love, but you're going after love somewhere else in the world to give you something that only Jesus can give.
That's good, Luke. And I think it's important too, of people who are listening who maybe feel like they have a sickness or something that's not healed yet. God, that's not God's design. I think our human bodies, this is the result of the curse, and but God works in that. And so I was going to say, it's funny. It's not really funny. I ruptured my fascia band playing basketball. My goodness. Just a month ago. And you know, some people can say, oh God, why did you do this to me? And God didn't do it. I'm 40 years old and probably shouldn't have been playing or should have just built up to it. And so it happened. And so I remember sitting on the sideline and like massaging it and knowing, like, God, you can heal this right now. And so I need you to do that right now so I can get back in and play. And it didn't happen. And so sometimes we stop praying because we don't see it in a result, but God will do something through it. And I believe that he's going to heal it, but he's teaching me through this. And that was that chapel where I shared Amy Semper McPherson's story. I actually had students come up and pray for my foot and who want to walk in that gift of healing. And I took my brace off and I walked and tested it out. And so the Lord is using it even as an illustration for those who want to begin praying for people, that we can have the faith to do it, but we also have to have people test it out, test out the infirmity. If their neck is really hurting and they want prayer, pray for it, but then have them move it around.
Yeah.
And so it's teaching these students how to walk through when the Lord wants to do a creative miracle, waiting on him for that timing. Like Amy Semper McPherson, I would have gotten rattled. If I called that out and no one came forward, I would have started fumbling, but there's a piece that the Lord wants us to do. We just have to obey. He does the hard part, right? He does the hard part. And I know that he's going to heal it. I don't have crutches and a boot anymore. And so I believe that it's getting to that point, but it's the so Lord's cool. teaching things through that.
Yeah. And with that timing, he's using it to teach students. Like there were so many students that were equipped from that experience. Mm. So, you know, the Lord gets the glory in all things. Yeah. And so trust his timing, trust his process, and allow him to go through every room.
All good.
So as we close, any final encouragements or thoughts, or how would you encourage those of us who have these doors or these areas? What are some first steps we could take to approach this?
I think first and foremost, there has to ask the Holy Spirit to develop your trust in the Lord. It's really trusting that he has his best for us. And growing up, I wasn't a very trusting person. Mm. I didn't trust a lot of people because of hurt in my past. Yeah. And so I projected that onto God, saying, I can't trust you, therefore I'm not going to open up all the way. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll maybe take the lock off and just open it quickly, but then we'll shut it. And the Lord is a gentleman. He's not going to ever force his way in. And so I think, one, asking the Lord to help build that trust in him, despite what's happened in your past. And then the second thing is, some people would rather have the pain of keeping the door shut rather than the thought of the pain of opening it up. Mm. So they think that if they open up, they have this projection that it's going to be way worse. Yeah. And I can tell you right now and promise you, every time I've opened up those doors to him, he comes in. And yes, when you get a scrape and you go to your mom when you were little, she had to take the bandage off and she had to scrub it and get it and put that stuff on so it didn't get infected and it would sting a little bit, but that's part of the healing process. And so I just encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you trust, and then just open the door, and the pain of what you're feeling now will, it's not going to be compared to thinking, okay, now he's come in and it's going to be all this pain. It actually decreases. And so I think it's getting past that lie that this is going to be the most painful thing in my life, when in actuality, it's freedom.
So cool. Oh, it's so beautiful. Thank you so much. I just really feel like the Lord is calling us individually and as a region. Like we started by talking about what's going to happen on the 25th.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's regionally what we're talking about individually today with this message. And you know, the Lord is in the business of restoring on every single level.
Yeah.
But it requires that we see through the spiritual and not through the physical.
Yeah.
Because what, you know, we're taught, like with science, like, oh, well, these are the laws of nature.
It's
okay, yes, but who created nature? God created nature. He can break his own laws. He can do things in the supernatural, but I have to be walking in the spiritual in order to walk and call things that are not as though they are.
Yeah.
You know, because I have to speak to the dead bones. Yep. I have to prophesy to the dead bones, to the dead places, the truth and the life of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I think someone needs to hear this right now. It's not by force. It's not, you're not signing up for boot camp where once you sign your life away and you get on that bus and they start yelling, that's not how God works.
Oh,
it's not by force. So if you yield and you open up to him, he has never hurt or failed anyone. He does everything the best way and the right way. And so it's taking that first step and letting him in. The scripture says that I stand at the door and knock. Yes. If any man opens it, I will come in and I'll eat, I'll dine with him. That's the picture. He's not coming in to wreck things. He's coming in and sitting. He wants to sit to a meal. It's about relationship. So it's not by force. He knocks. And when we open, he comes in and does the work.
Amen. Amen. And we have so many wonderful ministries here at the church. There's the altar ministry on Sunday. There's inner healing and deliverance and yielding ministry. So if you are wanting some guidance in this process, we are here for you. Mm-hmm. There are pastors that will meet with you. We can connect you with those who maybe are even better gifted for your particular story, right? I'm seeing how like God uses us all as interior designers in one another's lives. So be encouraged and know that God's healing extends to every part of your being, your body, your soul, your spirit.
Awesome.
All right, Pastor Mike, well, thank you again so much for joining us and sharing from what the Lord's doing. in your life. If you would, just please close us in prayer.
Absolutely. And thanks again, Luke, for having me. It's always a joy, always a pleasure to get to break down these messages with
you.
Great
to have you.
So let's pray. God, I just thank you for this technology, Lord, that we're sitting in a booth now recording this, but it's going to go out and people are going to be listening to this on the way to work. They're going to be listening to it while they're walking in a park. They're going to be listening to it while they're at home. And I just pray, Father, that you would begin to speak to hearts who, for people who feel like they're damaged, who feel like they're beyond repair, who feel like there's no restoration. Those are all lies. With what you're doing in our region, you are repurposing, you are reopening the wells that have been here, where we are going to see a move of your spirit in this area that is going to bring people to you. You're going to deliver people. You're going to bring them out of the mess of their past. And so, God, I pray for every person who's listening within the sound of my voice to know your love completely, to hear the knock at the door of their heart and to open it. Lord, I pray that you help them take that first step. I pray that you, if they come to church, Lord, that there would be something that would compel them to even come out of their seat. Maybe it's just coming out of their seat and coming to the altar, and they've never done that before. And that's going to be the first step towards a new season of healing. We pray that you help everyone in the context of what they're going in to take that first step. And we just pray for your restorative purposes and your love to wash them clean. And Lord, that they would experience freedom for the first time in all areas of their lives. And so we're just so thankful for your love. We're thankful that you come, you chase after us, God. You don't relent, and but you're a gentleman. And so you're going to wait for us to open it up. So Lord, let everyone who's listening to this begin to open up the doors in their lives that the enemy has tried to put caution tape on, no trespassing signs, locks on the door. We just pray for those doors to be open, that you would go in and do what you do best, which is to renovate and transform. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, family, go out, seek the Lord, pray for those creative miracles, and we will see you on Sunday.